Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 is a very unusual chapter in the Bible. In the first 10 verses, the author is explaining the relation between Jesus, our perfect high priest, and Melchizedek, the mysterious king of Salem from Genesis 14. But when he gets to verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 5, he stops and says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Apparently, he had spoken or written about this subject before, and he had watched as his listeners' eyes had glazed over. He knew in advance, even as he wrote verses 1 through 10, what their reaction would be. Not Melchizedek again. And he pauses to deal with that problem. What was the problem? We'll keep reading there in verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The problem was spiritual immaturity. And the solution? Well, the solution was exactly what one would expect when immaturity is the problem. The solution was growth. The solution was spiritual growth in this case. The initial readers of Hebrews, or at least some of them, were babes who needed to grow spiritually. But how would they do that? We'll flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, because in that chapter, Paul gives us the answer to that question. How do we grow spiritually? 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 13. "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." Paul is telling Timothy that the key to spiritual progress or spiritual growth is spiritual focus. Paul told Timothy to focus on spiritual matters, to be absorbed in them, as one translation says, to give himself entirely to them. The key to spiritual growth is spiritual focus. But should we really be surprised that spiritual focus is the key to spiritual growth? Well, no, focus is the key to growth in any area. A young research assistant working at Princeton University in the 1940s recounted how his boss there at Princeton had once searched for a paperclip. He says, "We had finished the preparation of a paper, and we were looking for a paperclip. After opening a lot of drawers, we finally found one that turned out to be too badly bent for us to use. So we were looking for a tool to straighten it. Opening a lot more drawers, we came upon a whole box of unused, brand new paper clips. His boss, the assistant said, immediately started to shape one of the good paper clips into a tool he could use to straighten the bent paper clip. Now, when the assistant asked him, 'What in the world are you doing?' his boss said, 'Well, once I am set on a goal, it becomes very difficult to deflect me.'" And you may have already figured out that boss was Albert Einstein. Now, as a patent attorney, I have a special appreciation for Albert Einstein because he was a patent clerk. In fact, he wrote most of his papers while he was a patent clerk. But when you think of patents, you probably think of someone else, Thomas Edison. In 1898, a reporter camped outside Edison's laboratory for 3 weeks, hoping to get an interview. Finally, he was successful. Edison agreed to an interview. And this reporter asked Edison, "What is the secret of your success?" Here's what Edison said. "The ability to apply your physical and mental energies to one problem incessantly without growing weary is the secret of my success." "You do something all day long, don't you?" he asked the reporter. "Everyone does. If you get up at 7 a.m. and go to bed at 11 p.m., you've put in 16 good hours. And it is certain with most men that they have been doing something all the time. The only trouble is that they do it about a great many things, and I do it about one thing," Edison said. "If they took the time in question and applied it in one direction to one object, they would succeed." Now, let me make one thing very clear right from the start. This is not a self-help sermon. The goal of this sermon is not just to get us all to focus so that we'll all be successful. It would be very possible for us to be the most focused people on the planet and yet be focused on the wrong thing. hell will be very full of very focused people. Paul talked about such people in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, their focus on earthly things. These were very focused people. In fact, they were focused on a God, but that God was their own belly. As Paul tells us, they had their mind set on earthly things. The Bible's full of very focused people who were focused on the wrong thing. Haman in the book of Esther, a very focused person, but he was focused on killing poor Mordecai. Jezebel, very focused on killing Elijah. The Jews in Acts 23, very focused on killing Paul. Judas was so focused on his money bag that he couldn't recognize the Messiah when he was standing right in front of him. It's very possible to be focused on the wrong thing. Okay, so what should we focus on? Let's let the Bible answer that question. The Bible has a great deal to say about focus. In fact, the Bible is full of what I call focus verses. When I first became interested in this subject, I began to track the verses in the Bible that deal with spiritual focus. I was amazed at how many there are. In fact, once you start looking for them, you see them on almost every page. The Psalms, for example, are full of them. On one level, the message is pretty simple, and I think one that any teacher can sympathize with. God wants our attention. He does not want us to be figuratively looking out the window while He's explaining to us how to be saved and how to live. He wants front row Christians in His classroom. No offense to back row people tonight. Let's first look at a few examples in the Bible about focus, about spiritual focus. Paul, of course, was extremely focused. And he tells us all about that in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself too apprehended, but this one thing I do, he said. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before and the upward calling of Jesus Christ. As Paul explains elsewhere, a Christian must have spiritual focus. We must have a spiritual mindset. Colossians 3, 2, set your mind on things above. Focus on things above. Romans 8, 5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. The two focus, the focus on the earth or focus on spiritual matters. What did Jesus say would be the result if we let the cares of this world distract us from that focus? Well, He said it would choke the word and make us unfruitful, Matthew 13, 22. And what did Jesus tell Martha when she was so distracted by worldly concerns that she did not seem to notice that the Son of God was sitting in her living room? Luke 10, 41 through 42, Jesus said to Martha, "You're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." He was trying to focus her in on spiritual matters. One thing is needful. Another focus verse is found in Matthew 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Well, now, how is that a focus verse? What does purity of heart have to do with our spiritual focus? Well, to answer that question, let's flip over to the book of James. Focus is a primary theme of the book of James. We just got through a wonderful study of the book of James on Sunday morning. And it's not surprising that James, who grew up with Christ, would say so much about spiritual focus. He had witnessed the perfect focus of Christ. The theme of James, I think, is found in James chapter 4, verse 8. "Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." The key to understanding what James is talking about is the last part of that verse. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. James is linking purity of heart with spiritual focus. Those who are double-minded, that is, not focused, cannot be pure of heart. The pure of heart are those who are single-minded, those who are focused on God, the kingdom, spiritual matters, those who draw nigh to God, as James says in James 4, verse 8. But wasn't Jesus telling us the very same thing back in Matthew 5, verse 8 that we just looked at? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Couldn't we paraphrase that to say, "Blessed are those who focus on God, for they shall see Him"? You will see what you focus on. The message is simple. We see what we focus on. Proverbs 4, 23 through 25. "Keep your heart with all diligence." There's the purity of heart. "Let your eyes look straight ahead," the proverb says. That's linking the same two things together. Purity of heart is inextricably linked to our spiritual focus. But spiritual focus is not easy. Fortunately, we have a perfect example that we can follow, though, don't we? The focus of Christ. Jesus was perfectly focused on his mission. Luke 19:10. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus had a mission. He had a goal. And he allowed nothing to distract him or to divert him from accomplishing that mission. The Jewish leaders tried to distract him and divert him. His own family tried to distract him and to divert him, but he would not be diverted. Satan also tried very hard to divert Jesus from his mission. Satan recognized very early that the best way he could derail the Messiah would be to make Jesus change his focus. Isn't that exactly what Satan tried to do in Matthew chapter 4? The temptations, change Jesus' focus, but Jesus would have nothing to do with that. He kept and maintained his perfect focus. But Satan tempts us in the same way, doesn't he? To change our focus away from God. Satan does not want us to be spiritually focused. Satan thrives on confusion, and he wants us to live in a permanent state of confusion. Satan knows that focus is the cure for confusion. Look at the denominational mess we see around us in the world today. Where do you think all that confusion came from? Well, not from God. God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. But guess who is the author of confusion? Satan. Knowing that Satan is trying to confuse us should tell us just how important it is that we maintain our spiritual focus, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but all throughout the week, all throughout the year. The CEO of Pepsi once said that nothing focuses the mind better than the constant sight of someone who wants to wipe you off the map. Of course, he's talking about Coca-Cola. But the same thing could be true about Satan, right? The same thing could be said of Satan. He's trying to wipe us off the map. That should focus us. Satan is actively trying to confuse us and divert us from our proper focus on God. That, if nothing else, should tell us how important it is to daily work on our spiritual focus. And spiritual focus is not optional for a Christian. To obey the greatest commandment, we must have spiritual focus. Matthew 22:35-38 tells us the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Whatever else is involved in obeying the greatest commandment, it must be true that the first step in loving God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul is to focus our attention on God. That has to be the first step. If we do not focus on God, then it's impossible for us to love Him in that way. God and God alone must be the focus of our life. Every decision, every action, every thought should come from and be based on that spiritual focus. The Bible and common sense both tell us that we can't focus on two things at once. We can't focus on God while focusing on worldly pursuits. 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We can't focus on God while focusing on money. Matthew 6:24. Can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. We can't focus on God while focusing on ourself. John 12:25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Focus is not something we can put off until later. James reminds us in James 4:14 that our life is just a vapor, appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Understanding just how little time we have in this life to prepare for eternity should help us focus on spiritual matters. Samuel Johnson said, when a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. Hebrews 9:27 tells us we all have that date, don't we? How do we focus on God? We focus on God when we focus on the Son of God. John 14:9. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. In God the Father, there is no unchristlikeness. We see God the Father when we see God the Son. We focus on God when we focus on the Word of God. We should have a thirst for the Word of God. Psalm 119:162 tells us we should search it as one that findeth great spoil. When Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew 4 to change his focus, what did Jesus do in response? He quoted the Word of God each time. He used the Word of God to maintain his focus during that temptation. If we're not spending time every day reading God's Word, studying God's Word, then it should not surprise us at all if we lack spiritual focus, if we're still babes in Christ. We focus on God when we focus on God's Word. We focus on God when we spend much time in prayer with God. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we should pray without ceasing. Well, how can we pray without ceasing if we are not constantly focused on God? Paul is telling us here once again that a Christian must have a spiritual mindset. We must have a spiritual focus all the time. Prayer is crucial to maintaining that spiritual focus. We're not focused on God if we're not praying to God as we should. To have any hope of maintaining a spiritual focus in this modern world, we must spend time with God and His Word every day. We must take time each day to be holy, to spend time with God in prayer as the world rushes on, as the song says. Again, Jesus is our perfect example. He lived in this world, but He did not allow the cares of this world to divert His focus. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's the focus verse, right there. And His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. That last verse is a focus verse. Jesus is warning us from letting our worldly pursuits so overwhelm us that they interfere with our ability to focus on God, to seek first His kingdom. We focus on the kingdom when we focus on the King. And the wonderful promise to us is that if we focus on Jesus, that focus will make us each day more and more like Him. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24, we find an entire parable devoted to spiritual focus. In that parable, God gives a feast and invites everyone to come, yet He hears nothing but excuses in return. One has bought property and can't come to the feast. Another's bought oxen, can't come to the feast. Another's gotten married and can't come to the feast. They're just too busy for God. Are we too busy for God? We sing a song called Jesus Calls Us. We'll sing it here in just a moment. Think about the words of that song. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, His sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow Me. When Jesus calls, does He get a busy signal? Do we put the author of eternal life on hold while we attend to other matters? That must never be true of a Christian. So what then is the key to spiritual growth? The key to spiritual growth is spiritual focus. But that key is available only to those who have been added to Christ. It is available only to those who have obeyed the gospel and been added to His church. But what about the people outside the church? Can't they also grow spiritually through spiritual focus? No, they cannot. Why? Because people outside of Jesus Christ are spiritually dead, and dead people don't grow. To grow spiritually, you must be alive spiritually. And we are raised from spiritual death to spiritual life at our baptism. We each begin our spiritual walk as a babe in Christ. And one becomes a babe in Christ by being born again at baptism. If you are a Christian who has stopped growing and needs to return to the source of life and peace so you can continue on your path of spiritual growth, or if you're outside of Christ and need to be united with Him in baptism so you can begin your path of spiritual growth, please come while we stand, while we sing.